And at Tuesday's Crown Inquiry, Chairwoman Helen Coonan very reluctantly agreed that money laundering had taken place, but refuted the suggestion that this was the result of the Crown Board turning a blind eye. Tina Quinn asked the founder of Crikey and Crown shareholder Stephen Mayne whether he accepted the defence of ineptitude on the part of the board or whether he suspected something more sinister afoot.
It's almost like the core business of high roller casino gambling is going to have an element of money laundering. There is a lot of hot money that goes into casinos. So for Crown to have a big business in that area, it's pretty hard to avoid it. So my sort of sense is that the board sort of chose not to dig too deeply and were quite happily ignorant about the whole situation. But if you had had a dig, you'd have quickly discovered that there was an awful lot of money laundering going on.
You just briefly mentioned there the high roller strategy. Now, the impetus for James Packer building Crown Sydney seemed to come from his joint venture with the Ho family in Macau, where Crown ended up making a $2 billion profit as Chinese gamblers were losing, I think, $40 billion a year at its peak. Can you explain the high roller strategy that Packer wanted to implement here in Sydney, which was basically modelled after what they were doing at the Macau location?
Sure. Well, there was always a reasonably strong high roller business in Melbourne and Perth, where the two first Crown casinos were. But then James Packer did his joint venture with the Ho family in 2004. And Macau massively grew to be a market that was five times bigger than Las Vegas because Chinese love to gamble. It's banned on the mainland. And so, there was $40 billion being lost in Macau. So James Packer wanted to bring some of that profit more directly back to his home city and to Crown rather than have it in the joint venture. So that's when he committed to build Barangaroo Crown. But he didn't count on a big crackdown on corruption by the Chinese government and obviously all the other sort of challenges that he's faced since. And when the casino opens in Sydney, there'll be very few high rollers there at all.
What do you think this inquiry has exposed about how the Crown Board has operated these last number of years?
Well, most of them were handpicked by James Packer. He knew them. He rang them up. He personally invited them onto the board. But the board wasn't told much about what was going on, particularly with the high roller strategy. There was a number of issues and red flags that came up with warnings about staff being arrested in China or the prospect of that, money laundering and banks closing down particular accounts that seemed to be being used for money laundering. But the board just wasn't told. And so a director after director has fronted up to Justice Bergen's inquiry in Sydney and basically said that they were unaware of things. And so clearly the risk management was hopeless. The elevation levels to the board was disappointing. And the question now is, how many of those directors get replaced for simply not doing their job in managing Crown's risks and ensuring they didn't finish up in such a precarious situation where there's discussions about whether they should even be given a licence and be allowed to open on December 14 in Sydney.
The financial regulator, AUSTRAC, of course, announced earlier this week that they would be starting their own probe into Crown. Do you feel they should have intervened earlier, though?
Yeah, I think it's puzzling because AUSTRAC, we've heard through the Bergen inquiry, was writing to Crown, warning them about their dealings with controversial junket operators, particularly a guy called Alvin Chow, who runs the Sun City junket out of Hong Kong and Macau. So given that AUSTRAC was onto these issues 3 years ago, it does seem a bit strange that they've taken 3 years before they've actually finally decided to take that enforcement action. So I think that partly reflects the fact that Crown has been a bit of a protected species over the years. They're very well connected. The regulators have tended to be quite soft on them. But after the New South Wales regulator went in hard with this inquiry, it seems AUSTRAC is piggybacking, and so is the Victorian regulator, which has issued a show cause notice to Crown.
At today's AGM, James Packer abstained from a crucial vote, which basically saved the three directors that were up for re-election, Jane Holton, Guy Gilland and Professor John Horvath. Do you think this has opened the door to a spill of the board next year?
Well, because he abstained on the remuneration report, we've had what's called a first strike, where more than 25% was against the remuneration report. So if that happens again next year, under Australian corporations law, we then move automatically to a spill of the whole board. So that is in prospect. That was an interesting move today. But he did vote in favour of the three directors, so he saved them from being defeated. His loyal CEO, Guy Gilland, he had 41%. against him, which was including James Packer. And if the Packer vote wasn't there, it would have been 80% against him. So that was an overwhelming vote of no confidence from the independent shareholders against Packer's chief nominee on the board. And Professor John Horvath did the right thing. He had 60% of the independents vote against him. And even though he did get back with James Packer's support, he announced that he would retire because he didn't think it was appropriate if the majority of the independent shareholders voted against him. So this was pretty unusual and dramatic voting at today's Crown AGM.
Do you think Jane Houlton and Guy Gilland are along for the board of Crown then?
Well, Guy's been elected for 3 more years. He said he wasn't going to resign. But this may well be the last day that James Packer actually controls the company, because I think there's a fair prospect that he'll either sell down or he'll be ordered to reduce his voting stake by the Bergen inquiry. And so we get to this time next year with the AGM. If he isn't sitting there with a voting stake of close to 37%, then he won't be able to dictate on the board who's on the board. He won't be able to save his favourite directors, and Crown will move to a model of having a clear majority of independent directors. Whereas at the moment, he's got 3 of his nominees representing his stake, and quite a few of the other directors are also quite close to him. So I think you're going to see some dramatic turnover, and probably more than half of the board, I think by this time next year, will be new directors.
Well, that leads to my final question. What do you think will be Crown's roadmap out of this?
Well, I think the best thing they can do is to get a new board, free of the controversies of the past. They need to formally divorce from James Packer, who's too inextricably tied up in all of this. And then they need to get through the New South Wales inquiry, successfully open Sydney, which they're hoping to do on December 14, and then probably recognise that long-term their high roller business is going to be less than what they'd hoped it was going to be, because they really shouldn't be playing with fire using these junket operators, and they'll need to rely more on domestic gamblers to make their profits in Australia rather than flying in Chinese high rollers who often have a very colourful background and they're a high-risk business.
So you actually think they'll be able to retain their casino licence through this?
I think they'll be able to retain their casino licence in Sydney, provided that James Packer is no longer in sort of direct control of it. And they've got a whole bunch of new directors who can prove that they're independent and that they take things like money laundering seriously. So the board has announced they're investing heavily in money laundering, hiring new executives, improving their risk management practices. So once they can get all that in place and complete all the apologies they've been issuing, then I think they'll be allowed to continue and proceed with different personnel leading the company.
Journalist and Crown shareholder Stephen Mayne speaking there with Tina Quinn.